Welcome to Talking Cybersecurity, a weekly podcast listened to by people in over 40 countries around the world. My name is Richard Herron. This podcast involves people talking cybersecurity. Expect to hear about data breaches, different approaches to cybersecurity, and reports on cybersecurity events that I or my guests attend. Opinions expressed by myself or my guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of my organisation or the organisation my guests are associated with. If you want to continue the conversation, feel free to join the LinkedIn group Talking Cybersecurity. Thanks to Pixabay for allowing me to use their music. Hi everyone, and welcome to Talking Cybersecurity. My name is Richard. Welcome back to those who had 2 weeks off over Christmas, and if you're like me, this was your first week back. I hope you survived it. I found Monday was pretty good, Tuesday I was really flat, but the rest of the week kind of took care of itself. I found that 2 week break invaluable. My head was less clogged, I was less stressed, and I was able to knock off about 4 or 5 things that had popped up during my last week before Christmas. So it just shows you, with a bit of a break, clear mind, less stress, you are capable of doing lots of work. Okay, today we are going to complete our 3-part episode with John, with that title of Life as a Security Engineer. As I said in the last couple of weeks, the audio wasn't great, but I've tried to fix it as much as I could. And after this episode, I'll try and create a transcript summary and key takeaways of the 3 episodes that I did with John. I'll more than likely put that on the Talking Cybersecurity LinkedIn group. Again, it's John, talking all things security engineer, and let's hear what he had to say.
But yeah, with capture the flag, there's varying difficulties. So the biggest ones are Google CTF. That's the most prestigious, along with DEFCON.
Are they once a year?
Once a year ones, yeah.
And why is Google such a prestigious one? Just because mine
isn't. That and it's all the difficulty. It's one of the hardest CTFs, and DEFCON would be on par because it's very esoteric. And they've even made it so that some of the vulnerabilities are in actual programs that you use, and they modify like open source programs. So you're actually doing vulnerability research that just introduced a bug. So say with Redis, which is a software open source, what they would do is introduce a vulnerability, say, a buffer overflow or heap overflow vulnerability, and it's thousands of lines long. And within 48 hours, a few members of the team you would typically delegate to do that. So say 2 or 3 will work on that.
Is there a leader when you do the CTF?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a leader in the CTF community. So there's someone who will help organize it. Yeah. There's some leaders who mainly focus on organizing if they're in the top 10.
In the team, like, okay, John, you look at the base code or something. Mary, you look at the data. You look at, is there a leader like that? Or,
yes.
You should have to have some organization.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's what the leader essentially does. So there's people with different skills. Yeah. There's categories. So there's cone or binary exploitation, which is what I enjoy, in reverse engineering. And then there's web exploitation, and then there's forensics, and then there's, it's all in the poorer, or the not as good CTFs, as we say. There's steganography, which we call is very much guesswork. It's not actually trying to solve a problem. It's more guessing how to find whatever's hidden in that file. With those categories, you'll have people who have strengths, say, in web exploitation, who are generally, a lot of them are pen testers, because a lot of pen testers enjoy, like, web exploitation. They do it on the, it's quite a common area. But you get sysadmins who do CTFs, and they do the low-level stuff, such as binary exploitation or cryptography, which is the hardest, because it's cryptography and binary exploitation generally are more niche fields, and You have to know memory works, you have to know heap works, and with cryptography, obviously, it's very math heavy.
Is the capture the flag team a bit like a sporting team?
Yeah.
Some days you're good, some days you're just off and you don't play well.
Yes, and challenges are completely different each time. Some people may be used to, say, a challenge that is, they've done it before or within their work, or they've done a similar challenge in the past in a previous CDF, yeah, and it's slightly different, and they can maybe solve that in an hour. But then there's another challenge that's maybe a novel where it hasn't really utilized in other CDFs, and that can take them the whole 48 hours or just 47 hours sometimes.
Are there some that they say right at the start, this should take the average team 48 hours to?
They do give difficulty level on some CTS, but they don't tell you the time.
And has anyone ever fluked it? Any team has fluked it like in 5 minutes?
Yeah, so really? That's what we call cheesing or unintended solutions.
Wow.
So there's been, most ETFs, there's been unintended solutions where they found a way to exploit it the unintended way. So it's not the way the author thought it would be exploited.
And could it be sometimes someone accidentally hits Control K and something pops up on the screen? Is that a story for movies rather than reality?
Yeah, I'd say that's more movies. But there has been a case where there's been, say, a vulnerability, and all you had to do was, there was another bug, but they created another bug accidentally, which was actually an easier bug to exploit, such as a command injection bug. So that you literally just have to do cat flag.txt in within the right URL or the right parameter.
What would say is the average age of those people who get into capture flag?
I would say the majority are students, but a lot of people start CDSEs when they're in high school and then universities. But as soon as people start getting jobs or work, it becomes a lot less doing it. People still do it, but not every weekend. Like, students tend to, because they have more free time. I actually know students who do it during class.
Let's talk specifically about that. I really, really want to hear about the capture flag story where your team got in that top 10.
So the highest we got was number one. And then we didn't hold that for a whole year. We stayed in the top 10 for the whole year. But how we got there was we had a better organizational structure in the team. So we had people who were vulnerable. Cone experts. So we had three people who just did binary exploitation, that category. And then we had three people who did web application exploitation. And then we had three people who did cryptography. And then we had three people who did, say, forensics. One of our leaders in our team, he actually recruited a lot of good players. It was 2020, and by 2022, we were top one. So the top three, depending on the CTF, but generally every CTF, you get money. So there's sponsors. So what, if you organize a CTF, you're going to go to a sponsor like Bitdefender or CyberCX or any company you ask for sponsorship. So we've actually had sponsors, CrowdStrike. And what they get you to do is if you go overseas, like DEF CON, CDF, you have to wear their shirt, put their logo.
Do they pay for your effort?
No, they don't. But actually, in DEF CON, if you get to the top three, then they pay for your effort.
Yeah.
The top 12 qualify for DEF CON. Last year, the organizers have changed. So it used to be a different organization. They changed. They went well. There was difficult challenges and even the best struggles.
What's DEF CON about?
DEF CON is very much a mix of obviously conferences. If you want to go there, in networking is a big one.
Is it a week's worth?
Yeah, and then there's Black Hat offers. Mm. And Black Hat's more corporate. So that's where they have, say, CrowdStrike and all the security vendors.
As a CISO, would I go to DEF CON or would I go to Black Hat?
As a CISO, I'd recommend Black Hat. The only thing with Black Hat is it's the talks are still quite technical, but it's good to go if you want to network and if you want to find out best tools in the market.
Actually, I've been to one of the conferences overseas, which was Singapore in 2017. It was RSA Singapore. When you go to a security conference in Australia, there might be 100 or 120 vendors. Apparently overseas there are
thousands. And there's even NSA recruiting at the Black Hat.
Have you ever thought of working for NSA?
There's a thing called Spot the Fed. If you go to DEF CON, the culture there is very accepting of everyone. There's a people who party. There's people who just go there. They actually demonstrate car hacking. There's different villages. So there's a car hacking village. There's a blue team village. There's a red team village. There's multiple villages within the cybersecurity. Yeah. There's even a CISO village.
Is there a podcast?
No, that you can do podcasts.
We have spoken for over an hour, and you know we're about half an hour late somewhere where we're going to go. So will we call it a day? You've actually found vulnerabilities in well-known products out there that these companies actually pay you.
I've found 0 days in Linux kernel. So Linux kernel, there's a company called Zerodium. And ZDR, so Zero Day Initiative, they brokers essentially. And I found these vulnerabilities in Linux, the Linux kernel, specifically NetFilter.
Do you deliberately look for them? Are you deliberately? Okay.
Yeah.
How do they give you the money? Do they say, oh, that fund's worth $50,000 to us? Or do you ask?
So it's triaging. They'll look at the vulnerability. They'll see how much it's worth, what the impact is, and then they'll decide based on that. It's very arbitrary. Okay. But there's generally, for kernel vulnerabilities, the most you'd get is probably around 25,000 in the open market.
Is that US dollars?
Yes, US. Okay. But if you sell to other brokers or that know government agencies, you can get up.
So I'm going to be rude and don't tell me the company. What's the biggest, what would you call it, bounty that you've received?
It's been about $50,000. US. And that's not even that much.
No.
And the thing with vulnerability research is it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
You can work a year and not find a single bug or a single vulnerability that's exploitable. You might get to a stage where it's vulnerable, but you can't exploit it because of some mitigation,
yes,
such as can't leak stack or the heap address, or you can't override a certain area of memory. So it's very hit or miss, but once you've got a procedure as to how you do it, it becomes a lot more easier. So what I typically do is I will go on to Bugzilla, which is a repository that shows all the vulnerabilities that have been kind of put out there. And then I'll look at them and then diff them between a previous kernel version and see what the patch was. And then after that, I'll see if the upstream kernel is still vulnerable or if it's changed in other areas, because typically when they introduce a patch, there'll be other areas of code that's changed, and sometimes they may introduce another vulnerability. And that's happened quite a few times. And there's also specific areas such as eBPF, which is in the Linux kernel, basically a JIT compiler. So just-in-time compiler. Essentially what that does is in the kernel, it compiles just in time instead of not straight away.
I'm going to take your word on that.
Yeah, and then with eBPF, which is the packet filter, it's a packet filter essentially within the Linux kernel. There's been a lot of bugs with that. And then NetFilter was a big one too, or NF tables, utilizing them to create structures. And then another big one recently is IOU ring. Oh yeah, and another thing was I wanted to touch on is if you're going to do vulnerability research, specifically Linux kernel vulnerability research, I would recommend doing KCTF, which is stands for kernel CTF, but it's Google's VRP, so Vulnerability Research Program. And what that, they actually pay you if you get a LP, which is local privilege escalation, local privilege escalation,
yep.
Vulnerability, and it affects all kernel versions, all distributions on that kernel version and backstream kernel versions, you could get up to $95,000. And the good thing about Linux kernel, it's very much Android, you don't get paid as much for Linux kernel exploitation, but it's a good starting point for vulnerability research because of Android, and Android's based on the Linux kernel. So similar techniques apply, but it's a bit different in the mitigation. So they have Samsung Runtime Guard, for example, whereas the Linux kernel doesn't have that. They have other mitigations of the Linux kernel that you have to work around. They are harder to, in my opinion, than the Linux kernel. And because more users use Android than Linux. So that's something I would recommend. And you get paid a lot of money. You can get up to, if you get a zero click or even one click, zero day in the Linux, in the Android kernel, you can get up to $1 million. If you look, you should just sort of shop around because some brokers give you, kind of rip you off. I find the best brokers are the ones that are more government. So if you go directly, they deal directly with the government. They're the best brokers to go to, or individual brokers. So how you join CTX or a War Games is, I would recommend people going on CTF Time, and they actually have a join.
Is that a website? CTF, yeah. What, CTF?
CTF Time.
.org. Okay, cool.
And yeah, I'd recommend going on there, and there's a section where you can find teams to join. Okay. You can join teams, and this will join Discord, and join that chat, the CTF Discord. There's a CTF Discord.
Anyone who would had this technical ability would be all over Discord. So
So just look for there's a CTF Discord. And there's a sort of Discords where there's channels for looking for a team. And some people, if you're a beginner, you can say, I'm a beginner, I'm good in these areas, yep. Or I'm learning, I want to get into it, I want to learn more about this.
If any, I'm going to cut you short here. If any of the listeners wanted to, I don't know, message you personally because they found your background of interest, would it be okay if I passed on one of your Gmail contacts or whatever to the person if someone wanted to know more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. Look, we better call it a day. So if someone wants to speak to John more about Capture the Flag and all his technical magic that he talks about, where would they contact you?
So you can contact me on jampxprod@gmail.com.
Easy for you to say. So that's jampxprod@gmail.com. I'll put that in the notes anyway. Young Jonathan, thank you so much for the chat. This is the most technical talk we've ever had. I'm going to put it over probably two or three episodes. We have been talking cybersecurity with John. We've been talking all things technical and some things non-technical. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and Jonathan, thank you so much for contributing.
Thank you very much, Richard, for the time, and I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thanks, John.
And that concludes the three-part series with John with Life as a Security Engineer. two things he mentioned. One was, if you want more information about Capture the Flag or even to join a team, go to ctftime.org. And John also very kindly mentioned that if you want more information about Capture the Flags, you could always contact him on his Gmail account. It's jam, as in jam, pxprod@gmail.com. I'll say that again, jam for Mary, pxprod@gmail.com. All right, that wraps up three really good weeks of quite technical talk with John. We'll be back next week for another episode. So for some of you, you're returning to work for your first week tomorrow. Good luck with that one. For many of us who have done another week, well, this is our second week we're entering into, and life should be a little bit easier than the first week. Although our boss is coming back on Monday, so life could get a whole lot tougher as of tomorrow. All right, folks. Lovely chatting with you all, and speak to you all next week. See you later. Bye.